Loveline starts now.
Indeed it does. This is Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew, 1-800-LOVE-191. He is Andy Schmelishmakis, or Andy Schmelishmakis. There he is.
I love you, Dr. Drew.
I love you too, Andy. How's your show going?
Pretty good, man. We're starting to wind down. I'm a little bit more refreshed now. I'm back in L.A., and we're finishing up.
Give us some hints. Yeah, nice. Give us some hints about what we can look forward to in the upcoming season.
You can look forward to peanut butter, to some can openers, to old people, to me being weird, to blah 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 blah. Dirty talk. It's dirty talk. Dirty, dirty, dirty. It's dirty talk. Hey.
Wow.
That wasn't me. That was me while ago.
That was you a while ago. You were in your prime tonight. Dude, you are refreshed.
I am, man. I feel good.
You've been sort of socializing a little less? Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because I got three young ladies in here. One of them has a penis. So actually, two young ladies in here, and one with a penis. That's a guy.
Is the one with the penis has a Y chromosome too, though, right?
I think so, a little bit. He wears triple low sodium sneakers.
Hey, Corey, get Andy that book on the gender reassignment.
Oh no!
So he can expose him to some of those realities.
Oh, we have to bring it in. Thoughts. We have to bring it in to show my friends. They'll flip out, dude. It's okay. So disgusting.
So what else going on? You doing anything else, Andy? You're looking at the book now.
No, I was looking at the confused look of my friends. Can you hear me in there?
No.
Okay.
Let's take a call for Andy. This is, and I'm not going to look at it. Let's put up line one there, Anderson, if you could.
Yeah, Anderson.
Hey, Nick, what's up?
Hey, what's up? Yeah, Dr. Drew, I called in when Shane was on, if you remember.
Shane?
Shana.
Oh. Shana, yeah.
Boy.
That was fun.
And what'd you ask her?
She's really hot. I met Travis and all that good stuff. But, yeah, Andy, I was wondering if in the near future you're going to be coming out with any new comedy movies.
Hopefully. Yeah, actually, I'm working on some ideas, like, of my own, but,
Oh, nice.
I mean, I don't know, like, to, like, get that thing off the ground, it's probably going to take a while, because you have to write an outline and all that stuff and pitch it around.
You have to actually write a movie?
That was a pretty good movie.
Yeah, you know, when you audition for something and you get it, sometimes it happens right away, but to create something from the ground, sometimes it takes years to get off. But hopefully, you know, we could do it quicker than that.
Okay, cool.
All right,
but,
Nick, thanks.
Yeah, man, I'm still trying. I got some free time, so hopefully any young, sexy little casting directors out there, if you're listening, I'm ready, baby. Take me on, girls. I'm ready.
Dirty talk. Put him on hold, please, Anderson. I'm going to reboot my computer here. Anderson, I mean, Andy, tell people something we haven't gone over in a while. You've been on a couple times since we last reviewed this. You're sort of history. You know what I mean? Where you, what you were doing back and how you were found, that kind of thing, or discovered?
Yeah, I was like fixing computers for a living, and I just started my own website. I bought a DV camera that I thought it might be like all my other electronics.
But you went to like community college, right, and learned computers? Or did you teach yourself?
Yeah, I taught most of the stuff I taught myself. I geeked out in high school. And Oh, that sounds really annoying. I'm going to go back to that location.
Oh, by the way, I'm in your honor eating one of those sesame honey nut crunch bars.
Yes, yeah, sesame in the house. Anyway, so I started a dumb website with my friend, and I created little stupid videos in my apartment, and after 3 years of doing that, your good friend Jimmy Kimmel found them and hired me and moved me out to L.A. to work on his show. And then
he found the Super Bowl is gay, right?
He did, yeah. Bill Simmons and Jimmy both found it. And we just sat down, you know, came up with an idea to do a show based on the website, and everything worked out so far.
How's
cross my fingers. Cross my little fingers. Whoopi's doing good. She's nice and old and cute. I want to kiss her little doggy mouth. Blow.
And then you're going to have to come up with a rap with a skin tonight, of course.
Oh, man.
That's just a requirement.
You don't understand. I really love doing the show, but like I tell my friend, I'm like, yeah, it's really relaxing. I don't really get nervous and stuff. I got the only one bit of pressure. Sometimes I have to write a little rap.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to do it. We can play your old raps. Anderson, you got his old raps?
You know what? I don't know. I don't think I should. I don't think we should settle. I think you should be like, Andrew, you're a go-getter. You have to make a new one.
Well, not only that, you're in such great form tonight. You know, I feel your vibe. You're
yeah, you know what? It might be the best one, and why sit on my ass when I can be creating?
Adam.
Yes.
Hey, what's up there? You're on Andy Milonakis.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up there, champion?
How's it going?
Champion gear that I rock, you get your boots knocked.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a question.
Yeah.
Yeah. How likely is it that my pre-com would get my girlfriend pregnant?
Andy, you seem to have an opinion about this. I hear you snickering.
I'm eating the Snickers bar right now. Skippy, peanut butter.
It's not the peanut butter jelly. It's not as though there's a number, Adam. It's just that it can happen. And it's less likely than if you put in a whole big volume, but it
right.
is, in some cases, fairly concentrated in sperm and can cause pregnancy.
Okay.
I would like to disagree with Dr. Drew. I know he went to doctor school, but I would say it's 1 in 863. 2.5
penetrations, thrust. What are we talking here? Intercourse episodes.
I don't know. I agree with you.
Okay, good. All right, here we go. This is Jason. What's up, Jason? You're on Andy Milonakis. Jason?
Jason, don't be shy, lover. I know your girlfriend's giving you problems. She's cheating on you. Just tell us, man. Dr. Drew will heal your soul, boy.
Talk to Megan instead. Megan.
Hi. Okay, every time I masturbate, like, when I'm done, like, I just keep crying.
Oh, girl, you don't gotta cry. It feels good.
I know, but it's been happening for a year now. It's like I masturbate, and once I come to the point of an orgasm, when I'm done, I just cry. And
tears of joy?
No, I don't know. It's just I get, like, really emotional.
Do you love your finger?
I don't use my finger, actually.
Oh, uh-oh. Do you love your...
What do you use?
I actually use the end of my hairbrush.
A what?
The end of my hairbrush.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe that kind of sounds painful. No, I guess that's not why you're crying.
It actually feels good, but...
Okay.
I just don't know if... You know, there's something wrong with me, or...
Well, give us some hints here. Are these just emotional outbursts, or do you feel truly sad and what we call dysphoric? Do you feel negative?
It's just kind of more of an outburst.
All right. That can be okay. And is there anything about sex that makes you upset? Were you abused or anything, or did you lose somebody?
No, my parents... my parents are getting separated right now, but I was verbally abused when I was younger, but nothing physical.
I think maybe more this is a sign of how you're generally feeling emotionally right now with the upcoming sort of fracture in your family. And after that sort of a sexual experience, your emotions are a little more sort of on the surface, and pow, out they come.
Do you cry after having sex?
Or
do you not have sex?
Please tell me you don't. No, please, 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 no sex.
I only had sex once, and that was a while ago, but I didn't.
A while ago, you're 14.
Oh.
A while ago?
More of last year, yeah.
And you were 13?
Yeah.
How old was the guy?
17.
That's bad, Megan. That may be why you're crying, too, because that does sort of overwhelm you getting involved at that age. I know it seemed like it was cool and everything, but the reality is it's a little bit much to handle at 13.
I didn't want to do it, but I guess in a way I was kind of in the moment, and in a way he was sort of pressuring me to do it. And, you know, I was just like, all right, let's just get it over with. And I didn't use a condom, actually. And I did get pregnant, and I had a miscarriage.
Oh, my God. But how long ago was that?
I
did it last September.
Oh, my God. Do your family know about that?
Yes, they do.
Do you feel that kind of tore
up the family a little bit.
Do you feel guilty about that?
Very much so, because in a way, my dad told me the reason why the family, I guess, is falling apart is because I did become pregnant.
That's why
you're crying. You relate sex to all this heartache.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, why don't you get some help with this, Megan? Come on. Andy's on the scent here.
I'm talking about it, but the reason why my parents are separating is because my father is an alcoholic.
Of course. No, Megan, well, please. I don't mean to endorse his nonsense that they're laying all this crap on you. They're breaking up. They're responsible for their relationship. They're breaking up because of whatever. You're acting out sexually because of their crappy relationship. Let's face it. If you were happier in your family system, you wouldn't be looking for solutions to your feeling states elsewhere. So but you need to take care of yourself. Let them take care of their relationship. You're closing in on adulthood here. Unfortunately, you have to grow up kind of fast with what's going on in your family.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I actually had one more question. I heard the story from my friend, but can you get AIDS by giving a guy a blowjob?
Yes, you can.
Oh.
Andy, want to open another can of worms here for us?
I'm done. I'm done with this one.
I was like the way she goes, oh. Yeah.
Oh, whoops.
Have you been exposed to somebody that might be a carrier?
I after my boyfriend broke up with me, I met this boy named Kyle, and he's actually 18.
Oh.
But we weren't dating, and we didn't quite want to date each other, but we would just mess around every now and then. I'd get out of school every day at like 12, so once he got out of work, he'd come see me, and we would like mess around. We've never had sex. Because he's still a virgin, and he doesn't want to quite do that with me. But, like, he fingers me, and I give him blowjobs and everything. But he told me that...
Andy, you did that when you were a virgin, didn't you? You were still a virgin. You were doing that kind of thing, right?
When I was,
all virgins do that.
Yeah, but I like how she said he doesn't want to go there with me. That's saying, like, you do.
Well, not only that. Neither he'll go everywhere else, but he won't go for intercourse.
He likes more of... fingering girls and, you know, having the pleasure of a blowjob. He just said that he doesn't quite want to, you know, get that intimate because he said every time he does
it's
that
gay.
With girls.
Megan, it's gay.
It's so confusing. I don't get it.
You, Megan, I am sure you're confused. My head just spun around about 3 times. Please.
You got to get yourself a TiVo, girl. Keep them pants on for another 8 years.
Please.
He's had sex with many girls before, and he said there's a. He called me yesterday.
Megan, just listen to those Melanakis words. Those are words of wisdom. He's a philosopher. He's a philosopher king. Say it again, Andy.
I'm like Gandhi, yo.
Go ahead,
I'm like Socrates.
Okay.
You gotta get yourself a TiVo, girl, and keep them jeans on for another 4 years.
Oh God! But it's
come on. You gotta relax a little. You're very, very young. You know, you're blown off your steam too early. What's
Andy, since you were... Well, go ahead, Megan, what's that?
I said, being with guys makes me feel better about myself.
I understand.
I don't think I'm attractive, but when they're with
Megan,
me, it makes me feel
get
happy.
We get all that. I understand that, but that is not the way to heal the problems. It is the way to get you exploited and to start feeling worse about yourself so you feel more compelled to be with the guys, so you feel worse about yourself, and you get caught in a shame cycle. It's bad news. Andy, since you were last on, I've inherited a crystal ball. And I can now see the future, and it's really quite useful on this show. You'd be amazed. And right now, I'm looking at Megan's future, and
you just see black smoke.
It's not something I can talk about on the radio. It doesn't look good.
But
it doesn't
look
good.
My mom, though, how do I tell her that? You know, oh, I did this with a boy, and I might have AIDS. How do I tell her that?
Well, you probably don't have AIDS. If this boy doesn't have AIDS, you definitely don't have AIDS. You seem...
He's slept with girls that have possibly had AIDS, but they haven't taken tests, so they wouldn't know.
Then you need to go into Planned Parenthood. You need to take care of yourself. You need to get a therapist at school or somewhere. And you seem intent upon throwing this in mom's face, which I'm sure you're going to. This is part of the payoff of all this behavior is to really cram it down mom's throat. She'll react.
Not literally.
Yeah, she's going to have a lovely time with this information. It'll have the intended effect, Megan, don't worry. But it will not have the outcome you're looking for, which is that you'll feel better or you'll be empowered. You need to take care of yourself. Please, please. We could do a whole week on just Megan. Oh, yes?
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
You okay?
I'm a little emotional right now. No, I'm just kidding.
Let's wrap our way out of this. Okay, Rachel, what's up there?
Hi. Oh, my God, Andy, I love you so much.
Oh, stop it.
Cassie, one question. Did you ever go to a Dave Matthews concert?
Is that a reference?
No, because remember, like, your first show, you're saying, like, if anybody had tickets.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I was just making fun of, like, I was doing the geeky voice. I thought Dave Matthews would be, like, a nice random band to mention.
Oh, because I went to his concert.
Like, oh, really? No,
yeah, he's a great
guy.
Yeah.
I didn't good do
guy
it.
Okay. I have a question.
Yeah.
Like, my friend, she has a friend that had sex, and the next day she got banged by her boyfriend, and she said it hurt. And, like, she was pregnant, and the same thing happened to her.
Hold on, hold on. I'm not following. I'm not following. First of all, and she's closer to your age than mine. You have to translate some of these things for me. Can you translate what happened there? What she was describing?
I was just so excited that she said got banged that I didn't hear anything after that.
The term finger banged or banged seems to have made a resurgence. It seems to be very popular to use that word all of a sudden. Even though, I think it's designed for effect, because I certainly cringe.
So, I cringe with joy.
Well, let's see if you can get from her what she's talking about. I can't figure
it
out.
Okay, let me hear it again, because I lost track.
Okay. My friend had sex with her boyfriend, and the next day, he banged her, popped her, whatever, I don't know.
Hold on. He had intercourse with her.
Today he had intercourse with her.
And today he did. Tomorrow he used his fingers.
Yes, and it hurt.
And, well, because the guy was digging around like a maniac, you know, like he doesn't know what he's doing. So what?
And then she found out she's pregnant.
And not beautiful from his fingers, because fingers do not produce sperm.
Yes,
the whole finger thing.
Yes, and go say that again, Andy. Fingers.
Fingers do not produce sperm, and I'm smart.
There you go.
I know fingers don't produce sperm, but I'm just asking, like, wouldn't it
the finger
hurt
thing has nothing to do with anything except that he wasn't. He doesn't know what he's doing. He hurt her with his hands. That's all, which is very easy to do.
Okay.
What are you thinking?
I don't know. It just seems like weird because maybe it would hurt. I don't know. It seems like. I'm just confused. So,
you are confused. It takes 3 days to get pregnant after the sperm is left behind. Do you understand that?
Oh, okay.
It's not like you're pregnant a couple hours after having intercourse. The sperm heads upstream for about 3 days. That's why the morning after pill works. If you can suppress the egg from being released, you don't get pregnant while the sperm is making its way up there. Okay.
Oh.
You get pregnant within 24 hours of ovulation. Now, if she'd ovulated that day, it still could happen within about a day or so. But on average, it's about a day or two, you know, within intercourse. It's not hours. And then, even then, for many days, it's just a couple of cells floating around.
Oh.
It's not something that's, you know, anything for a long, quite some time. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Peace, girl.
Andy, I love you so much.
I love you.
I was wondering also if I sent a video to you, like,
can he come over and finger bang you?
No. Ew.
Ew, that's like, gross. What's that word you used?
If I send a video to you, like,
disgusting.
Of, like, what, my friend acting all crazy like you.
Would I watch it? The best way to do it is if you put it online and you can email it to me or something.
Okay.
What's your friend doing?
Just what? Go on MySpace or something.
You have a MySpace, Andy?
Yeah, well, I don't really use it anymore.
There's, like, 30 different Andy Milanakis, though.
I know. I try to keep it low key, girl.
Now, what's your friend? By signing up for 30 of them.
Go on to angrynakedpat.com and go to the message board and post it there. I'll definitely see it if you go there. Angrynakedpat.com, and I read everything on that message board. It's the site that me and my friend work on.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, post it. Try to get it online or something.
All right.
Word up.
Bye. Okay.
Anderson, if you could put her on hold real quick. I'm having some computer problems yet again.
You are. Why doesn't Andy try and fix it for you?
Because he's in New York, silly Billy, and I don't got flying shoes. David Cross reference.
Walk him through it. It'd be great radio. Try pull hold X.
Dude, first you got to transmit the gigahertz. I don't know what you're doing, because you clearly rebooted the megahertz gigahertz drive. Blue screen of death and the DOS prompts. WYSIWYG?
Did that work, Drew?
No, I can't get it to come through, get through. So.
Problem when I come through, run through, come through.
Why don't we take a break?
Why don't we take a break? Let's do that.
Oh, we're taking a break, y'all. Taking a break, y'all. Uh-oh. Taking a break, y'all.
Can you imagine Andy. Him and David Allen Greer at the same time?
And who?
David Allen Greer.
Oh. And Steve-O and Danny Bonaducci. I have nightmares.
Bonaducci.
That group. It's Corner Me in a Room.
Don't forget
1-800. What? Here comes the computer. Let's see if it works. There, it's working now. So I can.
Yeah, we don't got to take a break, y'all.
No, let's take a
call. We're supposed to break like 30 seconds ago. And you all
right, let's take a break. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the phone number. Andy Schmelishmakis is in here with us tonight. He's going to give us another inspired rap about the show.
I better start writing.
Prime form. He's come to the studio tonight with two female friends and a transsexual. Andy, I want you to study the transgender book there we've got for you.
I'm going to show our friends.
Okay, any specific procedural questions, we'll entertain them after this break.
If you need help, hang up and then dial.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
We are back on Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Andy, you studied those procedures for me?
You know what? I'm showing. My friends are looking at the sex change book right now. And do you guys give it a thumbs up? Thumbs up. All three of them give it a thumbs up.
No questions, no concerns, no planning.
Well, I'm sure. You guys write your buddy, questions down.
Isn't your buddy that's transsexual a little jealous? I mean, those are pretty high. You know, those are pretty high-end procedures you're looking at there.
Actually is not a transsexual, but he does have a secret, though.
And
he's a big fan of peanut butter. Skippy peanut butter bars.
Did you ever see that? Did you see that peanut butter and jelly cartoon?
Peanut butter jelly, where you at? There you at? Where you go? There you go. Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat. That one?
My kids sing all the time? Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. And then Brian did on The Family Guy for about 5 minutes.
Yes. Right, did you see Gino the Guinea yet?
No, what's that?
It's this 11-year-old kid who's in a wife beater, and he's like talking about all these clubs. He's like, yo, I go to Exit, I go to Crowbar. He's like, who's spinning tonight? DJ, go F yourself. And he says like the real thing. And he's like, smell my armpits. They smell like garlic. And he's like doing this whole like Guido stereotype. And he sounds like this 21-year-old like high on ecstasy Guido in a club. It's genius. I got to email you the link.
Kids destroyed, please. Ashley, what's up?
I just wanted to call and tell Dr. Giroux, I've been listening to the show since I was about 16, and I've grown up with a drug addict, alcoholic father and in a single-parent environment, and I just wanted to thank you for all of your advice. My dad ended up passing away last year. And,
I'm so sorry.
From a drug overdose. But anyways, I called you about that, and I just want to say that all the advice you've given me has really, really helped, and I just wanted to thank you because I haven't really had a father figure, and everything that you say is very helpful in relationships and everything else. So thanks for that.
It is my pleasure. And if I remember right, you were feeling very responsible for your dad's death.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you gotten over that?
It's gotten better since I talked to you. Everything has changed 100% because I've had family members tell me that it's not my fault at all, but hearing it from somebody that's on the outside, I think made a huge difference. And
you got to know that's a normal and routine experience of children of bad addicts is they feel deeply like they should have been able to have done something. I was even dealing with another young lady, in fact, her name was, I think, Ashley, too, strangely enough, who found out about a genetic testing for alcoholism. And this is actually something we did on Discovery Health Channel. She got very upset that she couldn't have had her mom tested so she could have saved her, and yet her mom had died of alcoholism. And of course, you got to remember, even if she had known that mom had a gene that could make her a severe alcoholic, mom didn't care. Mom wanted to be an alcoholic. Mom didn't want to get better. And that's mom's life, and unfortunately has a great effect on you and all children of alcoholics and addicts.
It was really helpful. And I think just the fact that things, I think I told you this already, that the guilt that I was feeling was the fact that everything ended really badly, and we had a bad argument before. And I think, but anyways, talking to you, it helped a lot. And I listened to the show all the time. I'm now 24. So
great. What are you doing with your life?
I graduated from college, and I'm now just trying to get a job. So
what kind of work?
I graduated with a degree in biology. So
nice.
Now I'm just trying to kind of figure out where I want to go with it. I've applied for some pharmaceutical sales and have interviewed a couple of companies.
Where'd you go to school?
Metro.
Metro. I don't know what that is. Is it in Ohio somewhere?
It's a university. It's not a community college.
No, I didn't say. I didn't say it was. And
you
Andy
go,
did.
You go, girl.
Well, that's great. Well, good luck and enjoy yourself. You deserve to be happy, okay?
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, bye. See, Andy, see how we can help? See how that works?
She sounds like a smart gal.
She really does. My computer is farting at me. This is just so weird.
Oh, that's not nice of you.
I blame
you.
You're supposed to fix it.
I know, man. If only I could be in New York. See, I'm in L.A. You're in New York. Now the tables have turned.
All right, Anderson, why don't you put a call up for me and tell me who it is?
Oh, you can't see anything?
Well, I'm rebooting everything.
He's not blind. I mean, he can see that he's in a studio, but he just can't see.
I got Laura for you. She's 17.
Hey, Laura, what's happening?
Hi. I just had a question for Dr. Drew.
Right here.
Okay. I'm 17, and my older sister is 19, and she's been dating this guy for about 6 months.
Scumbag.
I'm sorry?
Keep going. Pay no attention to the guy that's rapping in the background.
Okay, she's been dating him for about 6 months.
Singing the peanut butter and jelly song.
And me and my sister, like, for a few months, he's been showing kind of interest in me, but I never really pursued it because, like, she's my sister, you know?
I know.
About a month ago, we had a really big fight, so, like,
but I have a feeling. Ugh.
Sorry?
That you violated sort of one of the, you know, sort of cosmic principles of nature.
What?
The eternal laws, the 11th commandment, that thou shalt not F around with your sister's boyfriend.
Hey, Laura, do you borrow your sister's clothes?
Well, she's like 3 sizes bigger than me, so no.
That bitch.
Oh, so you're saying that you're like hotter than her, so that's yeah, why that's you're what she's on saying. Her boyfriend?
No.
Yeah, that's what she's saying. That's it, Andy.
No. She's...
What would possess you to do something so awful to your girlfriend, your sister?
Sister slash girlfriend, that's the 12th commandment. Never have a girlfriend as a sister.
Her sister stole all her food when she was growing up.
No, what I'm saying is, well, he was showing interest in me, but I, like, pushed him away because she was, like, my sister and I didn't want to do that.
She was your sister.
That's following the 11th. That's following the 11th commandment. But why did you not do that? So what? You had a fight. I'm sure you had tons of fights with your sisters. That's part of being a sibling.
I don't know. We just got in a huge argument, and I was mad. And then, it was sometime last month, we just started, like, messing around. But I started...
What was the fight about?
Thou shalt not covet thou sister's wife or something.
No, I had snuck out one night, and then my parents found out, but they didn't know which one did it. So I told them that it was my sister, and so she was really mad at me. And because she usually does stuff like that, and I don't, so my parents didn't believe her when she said that, like, she didn't do it.
So you told an awful lie that set your sister up for trouble, that she appropriately became angry with you, and in her response to her being angry, you did something even more awful.
No, because then
Hold on. Andy, my crystal ball. Hang on, Laura. Laura, relax. Hold on. Andy, my crystal ball is heating up again. Oh, this is bad.
What are you doing with that crystal ball, Drew? What are you doing with that crystal ball, Drew? You sound like you're having a little too much fun with that crystal ball.
I'm just saying, it was...
They're not crystal Benoit balls, are they?
It was, no, just one. It was jumping around a bit, though. Yeah, Laura, I don't like it. I see almost like criminal things ahead. When not you necessarily, but the people you hang around with. Well, it's bad.
What I was going to ask you is, lately I've started feeling kind of guilty and like, when he fingers me, it doesn't even feel good anymore. Like, it almost gives me the sensation that I have to, like, go to the bathroom. And I was wondering, is that because, like, I'm feeling guilty or what?
Yes, you're shut down sexually. You have a conscience. Thank God you have some vestige of a conscience anyway. He probably
The body of Christ compels you.
He probably is giving you a urinary tract infection. Ladies, do you really get that much out of these young men with their hands down there digging around?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that much,
yeah.
I don't know, yeah.
Go for the shower head, girls. The shower head, girls.
Oh, my God, Andy.
At least I don't use my hairbrush.
Snap it on the youngin'.
Laura, I really don't like what I'm seeing here. This is horrible. Does your sister now know you're carrying on with the boyfriend?
Not yet. He wants to, tell her and, be with me, but I'm thinking that I should just, break it off and, not say anything and not...
You should tell your sister because you're going to have nightmares and you're going to feel like a creep forever.
Do not tell your sister because it would be so... Listen, but Andy, she deserves those nightmares for what she's done. Telling the sister relieves her guilt and burdens her sister with something. Here's what you need to tell your sister. You want to be a good person, Laura? You break up with your boyfriend, you convince your sister to leave this guy and tell her he's an ass, he's an a-hole.
Okay.
That would be a minor redemption. There still will be horrible
redemption
things ahead for you, though, if you continue down this path. It doesn't look good. It just doesn't look good. This is Sean. What's up, Sean?
Not much. Dr. Drew, I've been having a girlfriend for about a year and a half now.
What?
And we have sex and everything else, but she sits there and she tells me that she doesn't like it. But she'll sit there and she'll call her girlfriend.
Oh, she's lying.
Sex and everything else. Wow, I wonder what everything else is.
Oh, fill in the blanks, you sexy little vixen.
And she tells her friends, of course she gloats, you know, she wants to look cool to her friends, but the reality is this isn't doing much for her. Why not?
I have no idea, but she tells her friends that the sex is great and everything else, and then her friends call me and tell me, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Mm. What can I do to spice it up? Is there anything, any suggestions, comments?
What does she complain to you about?
She just says that the sex isn't good. Orally, the whole entire foreplay... And just
step up that game, son.
This is a chronic complaint, or is this something that after a fight, all of a sudden she dumped on you?
No, this has been happening for like a week and a half now.
And she gives you no hints as to what the problem is?
No, she won't tell me. I've asked her. I even like sat down and talked to her, and she won't tell me.
How does that conversation go? What did you ask her?
I'm like, normally I sit down, I'm like, hey, babe, what's going on? Why is it that sex isn't good? What am I doing wrong? What can I do?
And do you play the girlfriend? Okay, Sean, go ahead.
Hey, Shawnee, the sex totally isn't good, man. You need to step up your game, handsome. You need to rock my world. I have a penis.
This is kind of hard, but... Well, see, that's what I don't understand, is why is it that it's not that good when I'm sitting here...
I don't know. Why don't you find out? Oh, am I still your girlfriend?
Okay, it's whatever.
I'm just kidding. Dude,
Sean,
I don't know.
There's no way we can know without more information. Did she
have a small penis, you fag?
The most common reason... I didn't say that. Andy said that. The most common reason would be your lack of attention to her emotional needs. That's the number one complaint I get from women.
But see, that's the thing. Like, she'll sit there and call me at like 12 o'clock at night when I'm still at work, and she asks me to come over because she's crying, and I will. I am there for her as much
as I can. What's she crying about?
That you're not good in bed.
About how like her day went bad, or how stuff isn't just going right, or
all right, well, there's,
how I'm not giving her the respect that she deserves.
Yeah, okay, that's what I'm saying. You're not giving her what she needs. There's two sort of general possibilities here. One is that your perception of what her needs are is distorted, and she needs a lot more from you than you seem to understand how to or able to give her, or she really is. Sort of has some mental health issues. She has what's called a borderline personality disorder. She creates chaos. There's always drama. And there's splitting, that whole business of telling one person one thing, presenting an entirely different way to one person than another. To the girlfriend, the sex is good. To you, the sex is bad. That's called a splitting behavior, and borderlines tend to do that kind of thing. So you decide. We don't know her. We don't know you. We can't tell which it is. Blue, what's up?
What if it's just bad?
Drew. Hi, Andy.
Hi.
Yeah, Andy, there's always, like, the cigar is just a good smoke, you mean? He just has a small penis, is what you're saying. Yeah.
No.
It's usually not that, because usually women
I'm not saying small, but there is a such thing as being bad in bed, right? I mean.
Right, but usually women that actually care about their partner will kind of bring them along. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
They're much more evolved than men that way.
True, true.
All right, Blue, what's up?
Okay, I'm 23 years old. I have MS. I've been in a wheelchair for about the last 8 months. I have a boyfriend.
Why?
MS is like, it hit me. I've only been diagnosed for a year, but it hit me so hard that I'm in a wheelchair now.
Wow.
Yeah. And my boyfriend, I met him before I really got sick. And it seems like now, I'm living in Phoenix now, and he lives and Laughlin, and he's been up there the whole time I've been down here. He's not in a hurry to try to get down here to be with me. And like, he's supposed to be coming this weekend, and I was just talking it over with my family members, and they really don't think that I should stay with him. He's not doing anything for me, and it's like I'm wasting my time.
Are you on some sort of remittive medication for your MS?
Oh, yeah, I'm taking, well, I was taking Copaxone.
Copaxone, yeah. Copaxone is really good. Yeah, have you had a steroid cycle or anything?
Oh, I was on prednisone for like 6 months.
But do you have Decadron cycles in there also?
I was taking Solumedrol.
Right, right. Okay.
Every time I like had a really bad fall or yes, I went to the yes. hospital, they would give that to me.
Got it. Got it.
But
Andy, you know what MS is?
Yes.
It's an autoimmune.
What is it, Andy?
Blue's testing you. Go ahead, Andy. What is it?
You test it. Isn't it a muscle disorder where you lose control of, like...
You do lose control of your muscle, but it's because your central nervous system is attacked by your immune system, and the covering of nerves, the myelin, gets chewed away in patches in your nervous system, and so you sort of get pieces of your brain and your spinal cord kind of knocked down. And the Copaxone and steroids and stuff can reverse some of that, so it doesn't have to be permanent injury. And they really are good at, you know, delaying the progression of MS these days. So it's hopeful, Blue.
Well, I've been on it for like a year, and I've been getting worse.
Okay.
So
how old is your boyfriend?
He's 47.
And you're how old?
23.
You know, I always, when I don't like that age difference. I really don't.
I met him and he asked me out and I went out with him and we've been together ever since. I never had a boyfriend before. He's my first boyfriend.
I get it and I know you really focused on him, but I would take correction from your family. What do you think, Andy?
Yeah, it's like a big age gap. I mean, I don't know. There's something.
You're all freaked out just because she has MS?
No, I'm not. I just don't know like what to say. Like it just seems like. I don't know if he's not there for you and he's not coming to your attention.
Right.
Like, it's obviously like he's like, all right, you're going through some hard times. I'm not going to deal with it, or I can't deal with it.
Here's my experience of 47-year-old guys and 22-year-old girls. The girls, a 22-year-old's interested in a 47-year-old guy. Something's wrong with the girl because that guy is not interested in the same things you're interested in. A. B, the guy is usually interested and is exploiting the young woman, is interested sort of getting what he can from her. I just at the beginning, I don't like that. It doesn't have to be that way, but in this situation, it really sounds like it is. Jake, what's up there, buddy?
Hey, Annie, I think you're like the coolest guy ever.
Thanks,
and
brother.
I really like your show. And me and my sister both, so.
Well, hang on a second. Right now it's on MTV2, right, Andy?
Yes.
Is it on MTV? Yep.
It's on MTV2 now. The new season starts on March 31st. On
MTV2 or regular
Fridays.
MTV?
MTV2.
What time?
9 o'clock.
Yeah, my kids watch your show like it's scripture.
Like it's peanut butter and jelly.
Peanut butter jelly time every time Andy comes along. What's up, Jake?
Okay, I have two questions for Andy. One is, I was wondering what the fish dude in, like, every episode, like, why is he there?
He was just, basically, we did it for one episode when I was dancing in a strobe light. We just put him in a couple of frames. And after that, after he randomly appeared, we thought it would be good to make him, like, my alter ego. Like, every episode, just have him show up kind of, like, as me. We have him back in season two, you know, every episode. There's some, like, weird way where I kind of just turn into him. It's just, like, a little weird thing we came up with.
What was your second question, Jake?
Okay, and second, I was wondering if I could get an autograph for my sister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to think of how... be the easiest way. You don't want to give your address on the air, so why don't you just go to angrynakedpat.com? I don't know why I'm not trying to
be alone when he goes there. There's gonna be a few people showing up tonight.
I'm not trying to like plug it overly, but it's the easiest way because that's like the message board I read. That, you know, that's the website I've been with the longest. So if you go to the message board on that and post. And just say you talk to me, I'll email you, and you can get me your address, and I'll hook it up, son.
That is the one and only Andy Milonakis, who during this break is going to sit down and write a rap about love.
Oh, heavens.
Yeah, so just write one about me. I want my own
just
rap.
Just you.
Yeah, I want my own rap. Phone number here is 1-800-LOV. How about you and me in a rap? Just you and me.
No, like you know Batman what? You asked Robin. For just you. It's going to be a 100% right. Love okay. Dr. Drew rap.
Okay, all right. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the phone number. Andy Schmelschmack is in here with us tonight. We're going to be back right after this.
Love Line. Be right back in a minute.
None other than Andy Milonakis in the studio with us tonight. Andy?
Wow! I'm on the radio!
That's amazing. Why don't you chat with TJ here? Andy, here's TJ.
What's up, TJ? What's up?
Hey,
it's your birthday. It's your birthday.
Just want to say I love you and waiting. That was a good movie.
Oh, thanks, man.
And Dr. Drew, I was just wondering, I'm 18, I'm white, here in San Francisco, going to college, and I find that I'm really attracted to Asian women mostly.
Yeah, boy. I don't blame you, son.
Andy's all over this call.
They like the blonde hair, blue-eyed chicks, and I was wondering, you know, is that weird? Is there any, like, weird psychological stuff behind that?
No, no.
No way, no. Man. Asian girls are hot as hell.
What is it you find particularly appealing?
You know, just physically, I like the shape of the eyes, the skin. They tend to be petite.
Exotic, baby.
Cool. Enjoy. Those kinds of preferences are very hard to I don't think anybody's really explained where they come from. But mm-hmm. What you're looking for is, does it mean anything? And the answer is no, it doesn't mean anything. Okay?
Okay, cool. Thanks.
All right.
It just means you like hot bitches.
There you go. This is blah, 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 blah. This is Holly. What's up, Holly?
Hi, how are you guys?
We're great. What's happening?
Okay. So the deal is my boyfriend has a really, really low sex drive, like maybe once a week. And
By the way, that's not really, really low. It's just a little, that's about half average.
Well, for me it is because I can have it like four or five times a day.
Uh-oh.
That just means yours is high. It doesn't mean his is low.
Well, it means yours is really sort of off the charts, and that maybe means something happened to you.
Okay, well, that's not my question.
Did something happen to you?
Deep. Well, yeah. Not that I know of.
Are you any bipolar illness in your family?
No bipolar, but I'm clinically diagnosed as manic depressive.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, manic depression. And when if you're... That four-time-a-day sex drive is either mania or hypomania or sexual abuse, typically. I mean, there is such a thing as somebody who just does that, but typically that's mania or sexual abuse. In your case, it's the mania. So are you on your meds now?
No, I'm not on any meds right now.
Are you supposed to be?
Yeah, and I just don't take them. But anyway, right. This is not my question.
Well, no, this is a really serious health problem. Listen... You're in a relationship, and it's never all about one person or about the other. It's the two of you together what makes the, you know, I can't understand one without the other. You've got a serious health problem. You're not attending to it. That could be freaking this guy out in many different ways. So that's where we're starting from. Now what's going on with him?
Okay, well, his sex drive is what I think as low, except for when I'm, like, crying and in my depressed mode. Like, when I'm just bawling my eyes out, he can't. He's just all over me. Yeah. And so I want to know what's going on with him.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, when you're coming at him in your manic state, it probably flips him out. Guys push back a little bit when a woman is super aggressive with her sexuality. It can be sort of overwhelming and frightening to them. Sometimes. Particularly a guy that has trouble keeping up. He's like just trying to slip out from under so he doesn't feel bad about not being able to keep up with you. Then there are those guys also that need to be the rescuer. And how old is he?
He's 19.
Yeah, 18 to 20-year-old guy can be sort of in that rescuing mode, not really understand why he does what he does or what it is you actually need in those moments when you're crying, but he'll need to make it stop. And, you know, he could have some sort of sexual impulses associated with that, too.
Okay.
It's not inexplicable, this whole thing. It makes sense. So it's not necessarily like- a healthy thing. I mean, it needs, look, you need to be regulated, and he needs to kind of step up and have a real relationship and not be sort of acting out this fantasy of being a rescuer. But, you know, are you seeing somebody right now to take care of your problems? Oops, I can't get her back.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Yeah, are you seeing someone to get take care of your problems?
Yeah, I'm starting to see a therapist again.
All right, good. And is he willing to... Why don't you ask him to back off when he's swooping in there in your low moods, okay?
Okay.
You tell him you don't find that so appealing. That's not really what you're looking for. And see if he can be more attentive to what your real needs are when you're feeling like that.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you, guys.
All righty. All right, Andy. You got another 5 minutes to write that rap for me.
5 minutes?
Well, in a minute. You'll have 5 minutes.
Oh, we're going to get another break.
Yeah.
You see, I wasn't paying attention because I was already writing it, son.
Oh, really?
Okay. I was already writing the first verse.
I think that's why he was so quiet, Drew.
Well, I thought he was kind of... I think he gets a little freaked out by some of these calls. He kind of withdraws.
Oh, hell no. I get off on it.
As soon as she said, I'm bipolar, Andy just went, ooh, ew, ew. First it was, hey, you're just into sex, chick. This is cool. And then it's like, oh, okay, you're manic. Okay.
Right, I think you're trying to think of something that rhymed with bipolar.
Yeah, I like normal chicks, which doesn't really seem to happen that much in L.A. It goes a little bit crazy, crazy, a little bit crazy, crazy. Hi, I'm either psycho or ugly.
Oh, nice. That's nice. You're going to have a lot of fan mail tonight. What is that MySpace site again?
Yes. That's not my MySpace. It's angrynakedpat.com.
AndrewDickerPat.com. All right, Andy Schmelschmach is in here. He's going to have a wrap for us when we get back, or maybe sometime in the next hour. Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Call for Andy. Call for Drew. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Loveline will be right back.
Loveline, Andy Melanakis in with us tonight. He's working diligently on peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah. I got a wrap, y'all.
It's ready?
I think it's ready, man. I think you know what? This one I was just like, I blowed it out. I was like, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, it's going to be genius. Anderson, get that tape going.
It's going.
Andy?
Ready?
Yeah.
All right, just for one last line. Okay, ready, ready?
Right.
Yeah. Dr. Drew, it's Dr. Drew. That's right, y'all, it's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew, it's Dr. Drew. Eating peanut butter jelly with Dr. Drew. I don't know how to have sex, asked Dr. Drew. My penis looks weird, asked Dr. Drew. My vagina is crying, asked Dr. Drew. My ferret got me pregnant, asked Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew, asked Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is magic and his penis is blue.
Oh my God, that's genius. And thank you. Thank you for putting peanut butter and jelly in there. Had to be.
No problem.
God bless you. I feel moved. I've never had quite such a puckish satire of contemporary mores. I'm absolutely brought to tears by the intensity of the feelings evoked.
Drew's dick was purple last time I saw it.
Really?
Dude, that was blue. That was blue.
Blue, man. It's a bluish purple.
Blue's Clues. Come on. All righty. Here's a question for Andy. It's Francisco.
Hello?
What's hey, Francisco. Up, yo?
What's up, man?
How you doing?
Pretty good. Yeah, I had a question. Like, say some of your co-stars, like Ralphie and Larry, and that weird old lady. Now, were they like people that like lived around you, like your neighbors, or did you actually have auditions?
100% people. They were people that lived right around the area. And we just, I mean, they didn't audition at all. We just filmed a bunch of people.
I thought you said Ralphie got casted, no?
He didn't get cast. Like, he didn't audition at all. We didn't make him read lines. We didn't make him do any of that. We
Is
just
he
had some guy.
Now?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
he's definitely getting some recognition. We just had some guy walk around with a camera, and we, you know, we filmed a bunch of people, and we just picked guys that we liked because We didn't want anyone to audition and perform. We wanted people that were real and were going to deliver lines like how they would deliver them, you know? So they didn't have to go through any casting process or any elimination. We just saw them and we're like, we like them and they're a part of the show.
Tell a little bit about what happened this year when you were trying to film in the neighborhood downtown.
Oh, yeah. Some guy tried to stop us because... Well,
not just one guy, right? It was regularly, wasn't it?
It was right. He actually scared us out a little bit. We just moved... Nah, he didn't really scare us, but we were just like, all right, dude, if you're going to be a weirdo and try to stop us from filming it and, like, go up to people and ruin the joke, we're just going to move, like, a half a mile down the street. I mean, there's no point in arguing with this fool if we could just, you know, like, Grand Street's big. We could just move a half a mile away. And then the guy just, like, obviously he didn't care about it that much. If he cared about it that much, he would have had his little street team go... And try to stop us wherever we went. We were still all over the place.
His point was that you were exploiting old people? Was that what he was worried
about? Well, he thought we were just bothering people, exploiting people, whatever. And, you know, we tell them that if people don't want to be bothered, we leave them alone. If they don't want to sign or be on the show, they don't sign and they can't be on the show. So
given you're not exploiting people, what are you doing with those people?
We're making comedy magic, my friends. Comedy magic. Yeah! Yeah.
And then also you said that it was a little more difficult this year, too, because groups of kids would follow you around, too, or see you across the street and things.
Yeah,
right?
Usually before 3 o'clock it would be fine, but, like, after school got out, sometimes kids would straggle behind. But it wasn't a huge problem. They were cool about it. They were just, like, following the cameras. They weren't, like, going in front of them, ruining it, you know?
Did you resurrect my favorite bit? I was going to say that.
We didn't because... I don't know, like, it's, I don't know. We could have done it one more time, honestly, but you know.
It was too good. It was too good.
We just wanted to do new stuff. There are definitely a lot of Man in the Street bits. There are plenty of them. Hopefully you'll have a new favorite.
All right,
who knows? Maybe everybody will have a favorite. I gotta go to sleep. No, I'm just kidding.
Sarah. Hi, Sarah. What's up? You're on Shmuel Shmackas.
What's up, hello? Girl? What's your name is, yo? I want to buy you some cotton candy.
Hello?
Hi, Sarah. What's going on?
Well, I am 30 years old.
Oh, girl.
And I keep having affairs. And I really don't even know why I do it.
Because you hate your husband.
No, I don't hate him. I love him. I do
because
love him.
Because you love your husband.
But I still keep having affairs.
How long have you been married?
As a matter of fact, it's so funny. I'm sorry, but it's like, I don't know why, but I keep having sex with multiple men, even though I'm married. It's like such a matter of fact thing. It's funny.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right. It's so glib.
Yeah.
How long have you been married?
9 years.
Okay. Well... There is a few common possibilities here, and you kind of see which one you're fit into. Oh, my crystal ball, the smoke is clearing. I can kind of see which one you fit to. But here we go. So one is, well, all is, you know, the crystal ball shows me that you grew up in a lot of chaos, okay?
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
Crystal ball's correct. Oh, it's amazing that crystal ball is so clear every time.
Crystal. You know, it's like
a lot
crystal
of chaos
champagne.
In your family of origin. Maybe some abuse even for you. And so what typically happens when somebody comes out of that kind of system is they either A, get super attracted to people that are abusive and sort of are constantly chasing after bad guys and eventually get sort of married or long-term hook up with a bad guy and have a nice chaotic life with them, just like their chaotic family of origin. Or they get burned out on those bad guys and they have some horrible experiences with them and they find a nice guy, a guy who wants to rescue her, and then you proceed to F up that relationship. You proceed to screw it up and create the chaos yourself that the boyfriend won't comply by creating for you. So, sound familiar?
Yeah. Yeah,
what he's saying is you're a bad girl.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that's the pattern, and it's the consequences of coming from chaos and trauma. And if you don't do something to treat that, there's really nothing that can prevent these very powerful drives. It's sort of an addictive process. So
well,
you need
I see
to.
A psychiatrist.
psychiatrist and a therapist, and I have been for 3 years now. And
have you been honest with them about what you're doing?
Yes.
Have you thought about a 12-step program?
That girl needs a 13-step program. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe sex and love addicts addiction, something like that, SA or SLA, something where you can learn to let go of these drives or start to look at them in a sort of honest and deep way rather than keeping. I've no doubt you're BSing your therapist. And sometimes in recovery, people won't let you get away with that. Thought about that?
Yes.
Yeah, I have.
All right, why don't we look into that? And if you and I don't even want to know if you have kids. I don't want you to answer that because it'll break my heart. On behalf of your kids, please get a good sponsor, a female, in 12-step program for sexual compulsion and let go of all this compulsive behavior and see if that can help you manage it. You're doing a great job with a psychiatrist and a therapist, and now see if you can go a little bit further with something that is specifically designed for compulsive behaviors. Right, Andy? Yeah, right.
Sabrina, okay. Holly are sexy bitches. Sorry.
Okay. Okay. Let's see here. Let's go to...
Let's do it, y'all. Get busy, y'all. I get busy, y'all.
Jason, that's Andy Milonakis. Who else?
Hello?
Jason? Yeah, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, I have a... problem. It's like an addiction to pain. I find myself doing it a lot. It varies from what I do. I've never cut myself, though. It's always been like punching something, leaving marks on myself. I've had surgeries that I really didn't need just because I found myself liking the surgery. And all that. It used to be, I thought, because of attention, but now it's like I don't care about the attention afterwards. I just want to go in for that feeling.
The feeling is of being what? Mutilated?
I get the pleasure out of, you know, the pain sensation.
What surgeries did you have that you didn't need to get?
Well, I had a first surgery on my shoulder that I needed, and then after that... it was healing up, and I wanted to go back into surgery because I like the feeling of being in there. I can't really explain it, but it's just like I'd make it worse.
You went back to get more surgery on your shoulder?
Yeah, it's because I liked it.
Is it the pain? Is it the being a patient and being operated? Sort of three things, four things. Is it the pain? Is it the being a patient? Is it the cutting on your body? Or is it the pain medicines you get afterwards?
Well, I don't even take the pain medications after. It's
okay, so that one we can eliminate. How about the other three?
It's the pain. I don't really care to be a patient in there. I mean, when I do go in, it's like, all right, I already know the steps. Let me get ready. And then she comes in and does the IV, and I'm constantly asking everybody that comes in there, the anesthesiologist, the doctor that's performing the surgery, I go, when are you going to take me back? When are you going to take me? I don't care for any of the process or anything like that. And I just.
Yeah, but when you have the surgery, though, you're unconscious, so you don't feel any pain.
I know. That's the one thing I don't understand, though. It's like I keep on wanting to go back to the surgeries.
Yeah, you want the surgery. So this is really what they call Munchausen syndrome, also sometimes called Briquettes, which is slightly different, but Munchausen's. And it's a well characterized syndrome. That occurs where people get themselves lots of operations that they don't need. And I would suggest you come forward to your doctors about exactly what you told me here. You don't have to be ashamed of it. They know what to do with this. They'll refer you to somebody, get you some help with this so you don't get, again, these compulsive behaviors can be treated, and they certainly can't be if you don't tell somebody about them. Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jim. Andy Milonakis in here with us tonight.
Oh, how you doing?
What's up, dude?
Not much. I was, am I on right now?
Yeah, right now.
All right, I was having some problems with gambling.
Me too, brother.
Yeah, I lost $1,500 the other night, and basically, I really don't have that money to lose. And I listened to the show, and I figured I'd call in and see what you had to say about it.
Andy, what do you do when you get out of control with this?
I smack myself in the face, and then I go and I become a street performer for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, but you're a big star. You're rich. You can afford to lose $1,500 in a blackjack game.
I'm rich. Well, it's so, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I know how they pay on MTV. I know. Huge.
huge amount of money. Yeah, man, it's definitely a sickness. I know people who are really like, I don't have a problem with gambling. I was just kidding, but it's definitely a sick thing, especially when you gamble money that you don't have. It's like,
because every time I win, I feel like it's a little bit more I can get, you know, like it's just.
Well, the thing with gambling is it feels so good to people who don't have the money, because, like, the people who have the money, they don't get the big sting that people do. Because, like, there are definitely, like, I played some poker games, and when I needed the money, like, when I needed to win the money, like, you definitely have that, like, adrenaline going. When you have enough money and if you win, like, 500 or whatever the amount is, and you don't really need it right then. It's not, you know, it's not as fun, and it doesn't have that, like, drug feel to it, you know?
Right. It's the intensity of the experience that's important. So you got to lose a lot, gain a lot, that kind of thing. But usually the losing is what people get very wrapped up in, the debting part of it. So, Jim, again, we're getting very caught up in compulsive behaviors tonight. But if you want to do something about that, there is a 12-step program specifically designed for compulsive gamblers. And you're calling from Wyoming, right?
Yeah.
The University of Nevada, Las Vegas has a whole program, sort of one of the most advanced programs in the country for treating gambling addiction. You could check in with them. I'm sure they have stuff on their website. But simple enough.
And after you go to that website, don't go to ultimatebet.com, because you might want to gamble a little poker.
Yes. And don't go to, what is it, Deadbeat
Party
Pat?
Poker.
What is it?
Deadbeat Pat. Angry Naked Pat.
AngryNakedPat.com.
Angry.
AngryNakedPat.com. And go, just go to a meeting, and you'll find people. Gambling addiction affects most people pretty much the same way. And so it feels very good to be in an environment where there are people that are getting better from what you're struggling with, and they can sort of help you do that. There's a whole
process. Or you can go online if it's like you're really into the game. I mean, it's definitely not the same, but just to, like, you know, it's just like smokers who are trying to quit who just hold the cigarette in their mouth. There are plenty of, like, online poker games or blackjack or whatever that you could play online with live people that are for fake chips.
Yeah, just to, like, but he'll go right to the money. He'll go right to the money.
Yeah.
He'll go right to the money. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess
they encourage you. Those websites encourage you to get out your money. You know what I mean? They say, well, for now, but just, you know, we're in this many points, and we'll give you a little extra, and you step on into real money. And boy, a gambling addict can't resist that. It's really like it's like an alcoholic trying
Fake
to
beer.
hang out in a bar near beer, exactly that kind of thing. So it's just work.
Yeah,
so it's okay. I mean, I'm not saying you're way off.
I have a lot of ex addict friends who do the whole bar thing. I guess after a while it gets easier and
after
easier.
After a while, right? After a while you can, but early on it's
early
it's
stages too, are rough.
Yeah, it's too, the power of it all is too intense. Hey, Anderson, will you put up line one for me there? Who's this? Yep, you're on the air.
This is Mason.
Mason, that's right. What's up, Mason?
Mason Steinberg.
Anyways, I have a question for Andy. I was wondering if you could do part of the rap off of Waiting.
I'll do a little bit.
Can you
I'll
do
just
that?
Do like a couple lines.
Can you not cuss?
I could do I could do a little bit without cursing. Yeah, you're struggling. Yeah, you're struggling, living off ramen noodles. I'm in my Lexus, finger banging poodles. You call me a bus boy, I bust you three times, slice you three times, thrash you three lines, and make you skin some on your own cuts. And boy, you best give thanks before you eat my blank. Yeah.
You can say nuts, Andy.
Oh, you can? No. I just like saying blank better. It's like mysterious.
Yes.
I got mysterious nuts.
What rhymes
with
nuts?
My nuts are shaped like eggplants.
Disgusting. That's that blue nuts again. Blue and purple genitalia, Andy's into.
That's a little
All right, Mason,
tasty.
There you go. Let's put up line five there.
Sarah, she's 23.
Hey, Sarah, what's happening?
Hi. I've been dating my boyfriend for 6 months. We've been sleeping together almost the whole time, and he still won't kiss me.
I'll kiss you.
Yeah.
For how many months?
About 6 months now.
Gay, 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 gay. I'm gay, 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 gay. I'm so gay, I'm so, so, so gay, 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 gay. Sorry, that's pretty gay, though.
I don't know. He was married for 10 years before.
Oh, how old is he
now? And he hasn't kissed her.
44?
Yes.
He's gay.
He's gay.
I don't know. These big age gaps bug me.
He doesn't want to talk about it. He said on our first date he's not big on kissing.
Wow, gay.
And no, but some people are that way. Some people feel sort of, for whatever reason, there's lots of different reasons, but it doesn't mean anything about necessarily how he feels about you.
Should I just accept it and let it go, or should I continue to try and talk to him about it?
Well, is it a deal breaker for you? Can you live with somebody that doesn't like
kissing? I can live with it. It's just kind of weird.
Wait, 6 months? That's a long time.
It kind of feels weird when, you know, we can have sex, but we can't make out ever at all.
Can he do kind of lip-to-lip kissing?
Occasionally.
Just not open-mouth kissing ever.
Right.
Does he talk normal? Yeah.
Hmm?
Does he talk normal?
Yeah. Talks normal. He's fine.
Maybe it was like Eddie Van Halen. He was missing part of his tongue or something.
No. How is the sexual
missing
relationship
part of
otherwise?
His soul.
I'm sorry?
The sexual relationship otherwise. How's that?
Incredible. Great. Best I've ever had.
All right. I what do you think, Andy?
I don't know. That sounds really weird. I mean, I guess he's not gay. But at the same time, like, there's definitely something not normal about that to me. I mean, but... I don't know.
It sometimes means a sort of an aggression. It does. I don't even want to offer an interpretation. I think if the relationship is good, it's working, it's the best sex you ever had, move along. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
If this was video, I would give an interpretive dance to show what he was feeling.
That'd be awesome. Brittany, what's up there?
Hi. I've been having these urges to have one night stands.
Oh, girl. Yo, let me give you my number, son.
No, actually, I did have two, one each past weekend, and my best friend, she's worried about me, saying that I have a problem, but I don't really see a problem.
You have a problem in having fun. Wow, hot sauce!
But, I don't know, I don't feel the need to have anything more than that.
How often are you doing this?
Well, I've only done it twice, but I don't know. Actually, I've had more than two, but before it wasn't really intended to be one-night stands.
What do you mean?
Well, like the very first boyfriend I had, after he broke up with me and I found out he cheated, I was really sad, and this guy was, you know, going to comfort me and stuff and ended up doing things I really wasn't sure I wanted to do, but... It turned out to be fine.
Guys are great that way, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
So that was the first time that happened. Was it a rape?
No.
Because sometimes when women get raped or have an unwanted sexual contact, they'll sort of have a paradoxical response where they'll go out and start becoming more sexual, sort of doing the same thing over and over again.
Actually.
Not you, though.
I have been twice.
Raped?
About a year ago by two different guys. At different times.
All right, well, just know that to have sort of one-night stands, what you're describing, to have the impulse to do that is very common after a rape, and particularly to do it and not sort of understand why and to feel sort of funny to be doing it, yet to be sort of driven to do it. That is in my experience, an outcome of the rape, and that needs treatment, Brittany. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to end up getting raped again. That's basically the amazing thing. I've said this almost every night on this show, which is that when something terrorizes a human, particularly when they're younger, they'll go out and repeat the behavior. They'll find somebody, enlist somebody who's just like the perpetrator to enlist them in the same behavior over and over again.
Do they do it so it makes them feel like it's normal? Like, well, it's like a normal thing that happens?
There's all kinds of psychological interpretations. People say, well, they're trying to master it. It was so overwhelming and felt out of control, so we're going to go get it and do it and make it right. I look at it much more neurobiologically. I think it opens up some sort of compulsive pathway and power. You just have to repeat it. And why God set it up that way, I have no idea. But to try to make sense of it almost is beside the point. Okay. You need to go deal with this, okay?
All right. Also, I was wondering, my last boyfriend, he moved from out of the country, and that was why we split up. But I don't really want to date anybody else, and I haven't had feelings for anyone else since. So could that be part of it?
Yeah, you sound generally confused and empty and depressed. Yes, you had that one relationship that ended, and then a guy exploited you at the end of that relationship, and that relationship ended because a guy cheated, and then another one ends because a guy leaves the country, and then you get raped. I mean, it all sounds chaotic and painful.
Well, actually, Brittany? when I got raped, I was with the last guy.
I don't want to. Yeah, I get it. There's details to all this, but it's all chaos. It's all painful. It's all a mess. You need some help with this, okay?
All right.
Your friends are right. You are developing a problem, and you're at this point. It seems like a way of managing feelings, and it feels sort of okay, but sort of peculiar. Eventually, it will feel painful and uncomfortable, and the consequences will begin to mount. Please don't keep going until that happens. 1-800-LOVE-191. Andy Shmelashmakis in here tonight. Andy, what do you want to talk about tonight?
I like that little, I'm making a little assessment. She was like, you told her to go get help, and she seemed like, in her voice, she seemed like she wasn't satisfied with that as an answer. So you gave her a couple extra sentences of encouragement.
You're going to give it to her? Go ahead, give it to her.
No, I'm saying you did that. Like, you're like, all right, so you said bottom line is you need help. And she's like, all right. And then you gave her that one more push. One more push. I'm like a man of the people. I know.
And I've got a crystal ball.
Was that right? Did you hear her not satisfied? And then
I saw her crystal ball, and I saw that she's not going. See, and so it's very easy for me. I have a crystal ball. I don't have to listen to the person.
I got that crystal ball too.
Yours are eggplant balls, right?
I got the eggplant ball, but they turn clear.
I got the blue peni. You got the eggplant balls. It's a great night. I hope people have been listening all night to understand where all those references come from. 1-800-LOVE-191. But that last caller, what was her name again? Let me just see real quick. She's already gone. But another thing she could consider is maybe a rape group counseling, or there's all kinds of things she can do, but she needs somebody to give her some support. She's not going down a good path. Again, the crystal ball. Whoa. Oh, I didn't like that. Okay.
Whoa.
Right. I just saw something in the future there. If she doesn't get help, doesn't look good. All right, we'll be right back with Andy Shmelashmakis.
Loveline, we'll be right back.
Hey everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Andy Melanakis in the studio tonight.
Hi, dudes. Call and ask questions about sex.
Well, here's one such call. Angela. Angela?
Hi.
Hey there.
Hi. Hey, Angela.
What's that?
I've been with my boyfriend for off and on, mostly on, for 4 or 5 years now. Mm-hmm. And in the past year, I kind of brought up, I knew I was looking for more ways to turn him on, and I knew that porn did that. So I introduced him to watching porn together, and ever since then...
Hang on, this is Andy's favorite music right here.
Oh, baby, it's the Love Doctor on LOVQ Rock. And I'm here to tell you a story or two. Take your missus, take the stars, take the moon, take a bottle of champagne, and you love her. This is the Love Doctor signing off on LOVQ Rock FM.
And so you brought the porn in, and what happened?
And then ever since then, like, it's been nonstop. Like, every time, whether it's softcore or hardcore, he wants to put it in.
Yeah.
And I can't get him to turn it off. And, like, we have sex at least 3 times a day.
Are you screaming?
At least 3 or 4 times a day for the past, like, 4 years.
Jeez.
And we're really close. And I was just wondering, and then it's brought up more problems. Like, he wants to have a threesome now.
Uh-oh.
And
even a foursome or two guys, one girl, two girls, one guy.
Oh, Jesus, an eighthsome.
Hey, Angela, yeah. Hand the phone to the guy sitting next to you.
Oh, there's no guy sitting next to me.
Yeah, hand the phone to the guy.
No, there isn't. He's at work right now.
Or the guy that put you up to this call.
No, it's totally me, I promise. I'm just really scared that I want to have a threesome in a way, just because it's something that ever since, I know it will turn him on, so I'm thinking.
It will turn him on, it will end your relationship, and then your problems will be over. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I was wondering, because, I mean, I am somewhat attracted to girls, even though I've never acted on that.
Act on it.
But, I mean, he's never cheated on me, as far as I know, and his close friends have clarified that. And I was just wondering, because if it's the porn's going to be a problem, because I'll wake up in the middle of the night sometimes, and he'll be watching it, or I'll come home from work, and he'll be watching it, or
she's screaming.
But he'll go on the computer, but he'll lie about it sometimes.
Three times a day, and yet he's still watching porn. How does he do anything else?
He doesn't do too much of anything else, really. But I don't know, like,
porn is so boring. Why? How can you watch it that much? You watch it for like 2 seconds, and then you know, do what you gotta do.
But that's what they're doing. They're doing that three times a day. But he can't work. He can't go to school. They're like disabled by this.
The only time we really
I'm disabled by porno, mama.
We don't own any movies at this point. We don't own
what?
Any. I won't allow us to own any.
But the internet brings it right into your living room.
Oh, you know what? I got a good idea.
On my laptop, and I take that to work. So,
get a DVD case or a VHS case if you're living back in the past, and put like you know a picture of a naked lady, you know, playing with herself, and inside the DVD, put like Goonies or ET in, and then when he pops in, he'll like you know look forward to seeing a nice hot young biatch. And then all of a sudden, it'll be Corey Feldman going, "This is my wish, and I'm taking it back. I'm taking them all back." And then you guys will, like, experience some good classic movies.
And he'll get shut down.
And shut him down.
I mean, I don't know, because, like, I've rented them, and
we you rented Goonies?
Take it back before I go to, no, porn. Before I go to
rent
work.
Rent Goonies, it's a great movie, Goonies.
And he gets upset with me, like, why don't you trust me not to watch it? So I will leave it, or I'll put it in a position where I can tell if you watch. And it makes me kind of paranoid. I don't know why I'm so worried about it, but it's like, it shouldn't be such a big deal to me. But
do you tell him it's bothering you?
I've told him sometimes I want sex to be about us, not about the porn. I want you to look at me. And he'll be flipping to the channel because we have the in-demand stuff. And
why don't you guys make a porn? It sounds like the perfect solution.
Are you having trouble keeping up with this three-time-a-day thing?
No, not really. I mean, sometimes when I'm sleeping, he wants to, but because he does have some bipolar issues.
Yeah, I was going to say. It sounds like he's driving this, and you're just sort of going along with it.
It sounds you haven't told him that you're really, really bothering you. Mentioned it in passing.
Yeah, but just the other day, I cried because I came home, and
he was watching Goonies?
Well, I came home from work in the middle of the day, and he had the door locked, and I unlocked it, and I found out that he was doing what he did, and then, I don't know, it's just that...
How often would you like to have sex if you were just doing it on your rhythm?
With me.
Yeah, how often would you have sex if you could choose?
Two or three times.
How, a day?
Yeah.
Would you really, or would it be more like once a day? Would you be more like once a day?
Well, I'd probably initiate at least once, yeah.
Yeah, once a day is probably what you'd be doing, right? So
yeah,
he's sort of over the top, compulsive and manic, and you're trying to keep up with this, and you can't. And not only is he unsatisfied with you, you know, sort of trying superhuman efforts to keep up with him. He's still masturbating on top of that. And there's really something going on here.
Yeah, and I asked him one time. He would get off at 5, and I get off at 7.
Yeah.
And he would go to the video store before it was more out in the open. He'd rent.
Yeah, but I'm concerned that this, like, that you're just, it's just, I'm my crystal ball is heating up again. Oh, I hate this thing.
Oh, shucks. Yeah. Oh, shucks.
It's looking like he's going. Did something happen to him growing up? Was he physically abused or sexually abused?
I know he was physically abused, and he had alcohol, yeah. Both alcohol and parents.
Yeah,
and
I see him heading towards the sort of cheating mode here, and I think that's probably what's bugging you, is that you kind of feel like
sure he. I don't think he has, but we were long distance for a little while.
I see him heading towards it. I don't think he has either, but I see him moving in that direction because it's impossible to keep up with somebody that's sexually compulsive. It's just part of the syndrome is they can't be satisfied. And
yeah,
if he's going to be...
that worried me is that...
Yeah, and that's what you're dealing with here. And you're codependently involved with a severe sex addict. And
Yeah. When we started having sex, I was a virgin. And he had had sex one time before. And
yes.
We had sex once, and it took, like, 5 months into our relationship. And then ever since then, it's always been, like, 3 times a day. So.
Do you love this guy?
Definitely.
Really?
All right. Well, you know, I just don't know if it's leading to cheating.
Or...
It is leading to cheating, and you're trying to be in control of that because you're gonna bring a threesome in to try to manage the cheating yourself, which is ridiculous.
Is he
getting his bipolar treated?
No.
Okay. Well, that's for
start
with
that. Put that boy on some lithium. Put that boy on some lithium, son.
This is Case Cassie. What's up, Cassie?
Yeah.
What's going on? Here you go.
Hi.
Speak.
I had a question about my daughter. She is 9 years old, and she writes depressing poetry about she's a red rose, and she's turning into a black rose, and she doesn't want to be something bad. And please, please forgive me for all this black rose business. I just don't understand if I asked her about it, and she said she doesn't want to see a therapist, and she doesn't want to talk about it.
She's nine. It's not her choice. If she needs help, it's you as your responsibility as a parent to get her to some help, and let those people work on getting her to open up.
She doesn't seem like she's depressed at all. I mean, she gets straight A's. She has lots of friends. She's in Girl Scouts. She's in cheerleading.
Maybe she's just creative. Barrington Levy has a great song called "Black Black Roses in My Garden." Scene, big it up.
Where's her dad?
She said she heard it somewhere else, and she just changed a few of the words.
Where's her dad?
She's probably just a creative, arty girl.
I'm married.
Where's her dad?
I'm married, but he's not her real dad. He's her stepdad. He adopted her 2 years ago.
Where's her dad?
He's gone. He's not been around for 6 years.
And does she understands that?
Yeah. She has pictures of him, and she knows who he is, and she's spoken to him. She doesn't like him.
Is it Robert Smith of The Cure?
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
that will have a profound effect on her, and
it's
she would definitely
my chemical
be,
romance,
and she would definitely be at risk for depression with the deadbeat dad problem. Now, how's the stepdad? What's her relationship like with him?
Good. They've always gotten along very well.
All right, so at least she has a real positive male influence, and this is something she can hopefully get through.
Come in, give me a hug. Do not pretend or deny that.
A young girl left by her father, abandoned by her father, even though it was at a young age, does not leave a profound effect on her. It does. And it's great that she's doing well, and it's great that she has lots of friends. Those are all great signs, but she is going to be at risk for all kinds of...
She's very, very mature for her age.
At nine?
For like a nine-year-old, she's...
Well, part of the problem is I'm sorry to dump this one on you, but she had a 15-year-old mom. And What?
I was 15 when I had her.
That's what I said. She had a 15-year-old mom.
I was 16.
And as a result, she may have had to have grown up. You were a child too at the time when she was coming into the world, and that can be a little rough on kids too. But it sounds like things are going rather well, though, Cassie. I mean, it sounds like you've created a stable family system, and you're paying attention, and you're focusing on her. I mean, this is all good stuff. But just pay attention. Keep paying attention. She's gonna. You know, this stuff will leave. These are not untreatable things. These are not, overwhelming or destroy. My crystal ball looks kind of good right now. Crystal ball looks good. What I'm seeing for the future looks okay.
She might
grow
up to be a famous poet. You never know.
Right.
You know, that's how all these poets are tortured souls, like, and they, they're smart and good enough. A lot of artists are, and they're smart and good enough to, get out of it, snap out of it, and make something good from it. So who knows?
Guess what I would do.
Bittersweet and melancholy, that's the way life is.
That sounds
two roads diverge in the yellow woods. Sorry, I could not travel both.
Cassie,
I took
I would
the
stay
road
in
less traveled, and that okay, made all the Mr. difference.
Okay, Mr. Frost.
Will die.
What is that?
Some crazy Carly we had on like 3 years ago.
Oh, my God. Cassie, I'm trying to get through all this to you. I would stay in close contact with the school, with her teachers, and keep communicating with them and keep them on the lookout for trouble because they may see things you don't see. And if you with them decide she needs some support, then get her some help. Otherwise, I would just keep doing what you're doing. Okay?
Just keep an eye on her. Don't make
vigilance.
Her get therapy or
vigilance. But I would work with the school. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
I remember I was, I don't know if I was dark or anything. I think I just did it as a joke, but like I used to go to CCD, like, you know, Catholic school, and they gave me like the Virgin Mary and Jesus and stuff to color. And instead of coloring it in the lines or trying or anything, I took one black crayon and I scribbled over the whole thing. I didn't try to stay in the lines at all. I just completely scribbled it. I handed it in, and then I got the most passive-aggressive note back when I got it back. It said, "Great, Andy. That's great work, Andy. Next time, try some color." It was like such, like, okay, this kid's weird, but we can't say anything. Like, what the F is wrong with you, you demonic idiot?
They saw the future.
I just thought when I heard Black Roses and being young, I thought of my old black drawing of the Virgin Mary.
Nice. Olga, what's up there?
Is it Olga?
We will. Olga, yes.
Olga, it's your birthday.
What's happening there?
Well, I just had a question about to see if you knew a little bit more about this, but I masturbate by crossing my legs, and I can come as many times as I want, and I've been doing it since I was like 6 or 7 years old.
Okay, Olga, hold on. We got to take a break here. Just hold on a second. Andy needs to talk to you. But hang on 1 second. We will get back to you after this break. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Andy Schmelschmackes, Dr. Drew. You all right, Andy?
Big it up, select the bow.
Are you crossing your legs? We'll be right back.
Hotline is coming back. Call 1-800-LOVE-191. Operators are standing by.
Loveline will be back in a minute.
Hey, this is for you. Cusack. My Cusack.
I see.
It's all Kizzer. It's always like my Kizzer. It's always like my Zoom. My Z. My Zoom Zoom Z. See, I can rap too, dude.
Yeah, boy. My Kizzer.
Dr. Drew in the hizzy. It's all about my Kizzer. Yeah. But why ain't you got no play, playa?
Okay, yo, play the N word.
No, do not. No.
I'm telling you.
No. Did you see that crank yankers we did? That's what that was. That was a crank yankers where Adam and I called a guy and said, we're taping the best of shows now, and so just pretend like it's a regular show, and we're doing a little sort of a promotional tape here to see if maybe we can put Loveline back on MTV. But they wanted to kind of hip it up a little bit. They want Drew to be a little more urban. and that's what you hear.
Nigga.
No, come on. That's not right.
But just set the whole thing up. So
you have to take that off now. You have to put the delay on that. Because seriously, if there's other stuff we do, if we delay the F and the S word,
no, but
kills
you got the
me.
A on the end of it, and you just totally set it up what it was, so it's fun.
It's not. It's not okay. There we go. Let's go back to Olga.
I'm sorry.
Olga, it's not Andy's fault.
Yes.
All right, Olga, so you cross your legs.
Mm-hmm.
Andy?
Yeah.
She crosses her legs.
That's awesome.
So,
anytime, anywhere, nobody will even notice.
How do you know when to stop?
I'll notice.
How do you know when to stop?
When I come.
Yeah, but you said you do it as many times as you want.
If I want to come many times, then I do it many times.
How many times?
It depends. If I'm, like, for example, in school right before a test, I used to do it. So if I was nervous, like right now I'm feeling nervous, so probably I'll start doing it right now.
Yeah, but, do it.
No, but
come on,
but
please.
It's just it depends on the intensity. You know? It also depends on where I'm at, how long is the masturbation is gonna take, or how long I want the orgasm to last.
Will you please do it?
No.
How long does it take you to get to class?
No.
With the, since I already know my body and I've been doing it for so long, I can do it like I can come two times within a minute.
That's actually a particular biology you have that is something you're kind of born. You're born with this. This is not something, I don't want any of the other women listening thinking that they can switch to this.
I've been actually thinking of going to some of the universities, and I've seen a lot of your work. Mm-hmm. And so I think that you will be one of the most person or in the United States that will be the most.
You want to set a world record for the United States. But here's the deal.
No, what I want to do is I want to know if this could be taught to other women, because
no,
it's amazing.
It can't. It cannot be, because you also have multiple orgasms during intercourse, right?
Well, actually, if I'm not really into it, I have to cross my legs so I can make myself get into before I have sex.
Puppy!
For example, if I'm dry and if I want to get ready, then I just do it.
But you're able to, if you were, you are able to have orgasm with intercourse, correct? If you're
into it. I can hear you. There's a lot of noise in the back. I'm sorry.
That's not noise. That's magic, girl.
We're all
crossing our legs here.
If you're into it, you're able to orgasm with intercourse, correct?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yes.
And multiple times, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And oral sex, people with that sort of orientation, with that biology, typically oral sex doesn't feel that good. It feels like too irritating, too intense.
I don't like it.
Right. Okay.
Yes,
so that's,
I won't even allow, like, they, right. I can have my husband try, but then I don't really like it. I don't really enjoy it. I'd rather
it's too intense.
I mean,
so
what's the reason? What's the reason this happens?
She was
super
born with
sensitive
this.
Vajayjay?
This is. How come you didn't include this in the rap? I want you to redo the rap and put Olga into it.
I won't put her in it because she won't do it. She's like, no.
Yeah,
it's for my own pleasure, not for.
No, it's for my own pleasure too. You selfish bitch.
But I really wanted to do a little bit more research about it because it happened as an accident, like penicillin. You know, it happened as an accident.
Yeah, Olga, I understand that, but this is a particular. There's several good studies now that show that this is a genetic thing. This is something you were born with. Now you've sort of developed it into something quite, you know, you sort
super of sensitive,
it.
Super sensitive Vajayjay syndrome. It's called.
That's what you can call it. But it is something as a genetic construct, and you cannot take somebody who has orgasms only with oral sex and turn them into an Olga. That doesn't exist. That just can't happen.
I want to turn myself into an Olga.
I know you're sitting there with those legs crossed, just working away at it. You have to practice a lot more.
I can't have an orgasm by crossing my legs, but if I put peanut butter on my nipples, I instantly come. Is that weird?
On that note, we will take a break. I think you'd go to the bathroom and vomit.
If you need help,
call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Well, Andy, buddy, thank you so much for coming in. That about does it for another episode of Loveline.
My pleasure, buddy boy.
I hope you'll come in again soon. You're always welcome. And
definitely, I'm down.
It is genuinely a pleasure. And we're going to say goodnight tonight with a little rap from Andy.
Dr. Drew, it's Dr. Drew. That's right, y'all. It's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew, it's Dr. Drew. Eating peanut butter jelly with Dr. Drew. I don't know how to have sex. Ask Dr. Drew. My penis looks weird. Ask Dr. Drew. My vagina is crying. Ask Dr. Drew. My favorite company pregnant. Ask Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew, ask Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is magic and his penis is blue.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.